Good morning and welcome on this third Sunday after Epiphany and the last, hopefully, lay service for a number of a good long while. We begin this morning with hymn 397, As with Gladness, Men of Old. Of service today is the Divine Service Setting 4 on page 203 of the Lutheran Service Book. And please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We now continue with the confession on the first page of the bulletin. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, remember that we live and confront many dangers, and by nature we cannot overcome them. Deliver us by your grace in Christ. Strengthen and protect us in times of danger, and help us to resist temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first lesson today is taken from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 6. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations. And in your riches you will boast. This is the word of the Lord. The responsive reading is taken from Psalm 27, as found in your bulletin. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your Lord, O Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Our second lesson today is the gospel from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 207 of Lutheran Service Book, and for this we rise. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with the next hymn, 647, Lord Jesus Christ, the Church's Head.
Thank you.
Our sermon this morning is written by Pastor Michael Eichstadt. The title is Our Wonderful Body, and the text is from 1 Corinthians 12, selected verses. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. So far our text. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, and our Savior, dear fellow Christians. Do you want to try something truly amazing? Reach out and take the hymnal from the rack in front of you. That action doesn't seem like anything special, but it really is. It takes the coordinated efforts of many body parts. First, our eyes zero in on the subject. The brain then sends out electrical impulses which travel to muscle groups and make them contract, which causes the arm to reach out. The hand closes around the book. Even the little ridges on our fingertips play a role and help the fingers keep a firm grip. At the same time, the heart automatically speeds up slightly, and our respiration increases to supply the body with the extra blood and oxygen it needs. The whole process takes only a few seconds. We sit, we stand, we grab things, we put things down, we walk and run. We think, write, and speak all with the same body. Our bodies make computers and the most complicated machines look like tinker toy projects assembled by a two-year-old. The closer we look at our bodies, the more it is impressed upon us that they cannot possibly be the product of a chance evolutionary process. They are a magnificent creation of God. David writes in Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. St. Paul uses the human body as an illustration of another wonderful body also created by God. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. That body is the Holy Christian Church, the group of all believers everywhere. And the closer we look at that body, the more we appreciate just how amazing it is. Let's see how we fit into it and praise God for making us a part of it. Our bodies have hundreds of different parts, things like bones, muscles, internal organs. The church does too. Paul speaks of Jews and Greeks, slave and free. The Corinthian congregation was made up of people with different ethnic backgrounds and varied social and economic status. Jesus came for all people. The Father told him, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth," from Isaiah 49. And so Jesus preached to his own countrymen, but also to a Samaritan woman, He invited the religious leaders to believe in him, but also offered salvation to despised tax collectors. Look at the church today. Believers come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. We have different backgrounds, ages, income levels, interests, right here in our own congregation. And there are even greater differences when we look beyond these walls. There are fellow believers in Nigeria and India who live in a totally different culture. They don't do things at all like we do. They don't look or dress as we do. There are Christians of every race. Some are well off, some dirt poor, and some in between. The Lord's kingdom is open to all. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." No matter who you are or what your past has been, the promise is the same. Though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. But wouldn't it be better if everyone were alike? God could stamp out every Christian with the same heavenly cookie cutter. We would all think alike and do everything exactly the same way. There are church groups which make a point of planting congregations which are intended to be made up of people who are as much alike as possible. For example, all middle-class families with children. They see that model as the ideal. But the church is like the body, one body made up of many different members. You don't see giant eyeballs or ears walking around. So too, the church is made up of many different people with many different gifts and talents from the Holy Spirit. Some are able to teach, organize, or lead. Others have musical gifts or depth of spiritual insight or abilities to work with their hands. With all the differences, what holds us together? Our physical bodies are joined together by bones and tendons, but we don't have a natural connection with one another or with God. We are self-centered and quick to find fault with others. We were enemies of God who wanted to go our own way, even though it was a course heading toward eternal destruction. But then Christ joined us to himself and to one another by becoming one of us and taking away the sin that kept us apart. He gave us his holy life in place of our lives marred by sin. He gave us peace with God by taking God's anger on himself on the cross. In baptism, the Spirit gave us all the blessings Jesus won for us. In that way, we share the greatest bond of all. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. We are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, along with every other believer. And it is an amazing body. It is worth appreciating and caring for. Instead of thinking only of ourselves, may we cherish all the members of the body. Instead of ignoring, looking down on, or resenting those who are different, may we rejoice that the Spirit has joined them with us in Christ's body, the Holy Christian Church. Our physical body is so wonderful because even though it has many parts, they all work together, and each one is important. Doctors used to think that things like tonsils and appendix were just extra expendable parts of the body. Now they know that they serve important functions too. God intends the body parts to work together for the good of the whole. The foot doesn't decide to go off on its own. The ear doesn't become jealous because it is not an eye. They need one another. The eye needs the hand to remove a speck of dust from it. The hand needs the feet to take it across the room to pick up the newspaper. But sometimes, because of sin, there are problems. The immune system attacks the body instead of protecting it. The arms and legs don't do what the brain wants them to because of disease. Sin can cause similar problems in the body of the church. In Corinth, gifts of the Spirit, such as speaking in tongues, were being coveted and misused. Some were using the Lord's Supper as a display of personal wealth, while their fellow believers went home hungry. The congregation had disintegrated into cliques, each with its own favorite pastor. Satan still tries to destroy the church from within that way. He would like us to think of our gifts and talents as our own personal possession to use for our individual glory instead of for the good of the body. What happens then is that each individual has his own plan and agenda for the church, and if that is not followed, he becomes offended and withdraws from the group. What we want to remember is that the church is God's creation and designed to serve him, not our own pride. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Each one is needed and interconnected. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If a toe develops a blister, the rest of the body knows and compensates to help the toe heal. If a member of Christ's body is grieving the loss of a loved one, or wrestling with an especially difficult temptation, or is experiencing persecution, the rest of the body will want to help in any way possible. When fellow Christians rejoice over new souls being brought to faith, or dedicate a new church, or begin a new mission, we celebrate with them. Our model and motivation is our head, Jesus. He humbled himself and became the servant of all to save us all. His love now moves us to love and serve him. We are his arms and legs to preach the good news to all creation. As he went everywhere warning people about sin and their need for repentance, so we want to reach out wherever we can with the same warning before it is too late. Above all, we want to tell everyone that Jesus is the light of the world. Each of us has an important part in that task. Full-time pastors and teachers have the assignment to train and prepare God's people for works of service. They provide the spiritual tools necessary to witness for Christ. Other leaders like council and board members help plan and organize the church's efforts. Each member is needed to carry out the Lord's work as effectively as possible. Sunday school teachers, church cleaners, organists, members who invite friends to worship, children who learn God's word, senior citizens who have faithfully served the Lord for decades and still pray daily for the church are all vital to the health of the body. Do you see the picture? Christ's body is a living, active body of which you are an important part. Never think that you have nothing to offer or that you won't be missed because someone else will pick up the slack. Take a personal inventory of the gifts God has given you. Ask a fellow believer what gifts he or she sees in you. Then when you see an opportunity to get involved, when rides are needed to church, when there is a call for teachers, when someone can use Christian encouragement, say, Lord, here am I. Use me in your service. The Lord has blessed us with many gifts. What if each of us put them all to work? What if we used every opportunity to share our faith with those around us? What if we each prayed regularly for the growth of Christ's kingdom? What if we got to work with all the power and energy God offers through his word? The possibilities are limitless. The potential for God to accomplish great things is mind-boggling. By God's grace, we are the body of Christ. Many parts, but one body. Many parts, but each one is needed. By the Spirit's power, may we wholeheartedly work together as one under the direction and to the glory of our head, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now continue with the offertory on page 956. Cast me not away from thy presence. may be seated for the offering. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. We now continue with hymn 646, Church of God, Elect and Glorious. rise for prayer. Oh God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus and for making known in him the mystery of your gracious will, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Thank you for the redemption that you have given us through the blood of his cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, for deliverance from all evil, and for the certain hope of eternal glory. We praise you, Lord, for giving us your saving word, through which your Holy Spirit has called us to faith and enlightened our understanding. We pray, O God, that the gospel of Christ crucified for sinners may have free course in the lives and hearts of people everywhere, that your house may be filled with believers from every race and nation, and that heaven and earth may ring with songs of praise for this great salvation. Dear Lord, watch over your church throughout the whole world, and give us faithful leaders who are true shepherds, proclaiming your word without the errors of human opinions. For all who have the cares of government in their hands, give humility, guidance, wisdom, and a sense of true justice and morality, so that our land may be governed in a way that is in harmony with your word and will. Graciously help us, O God, to redeem the time, using our days wisely as disciples of our Lord. Stir us up to use the gifts you have given us for the work of your kingdom. Renew in us a steadfast spirit. Turn us away from the paths of sin. Comfort all who are afflicted. Guard our loved ones wherever they may be. We especially ask, dear Lord, for your protection for those who are serving our country in the armed forces overseas, and for the potential victims of violence in foreign conflicts. Dear Father, as we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, so let us live our lives for him, rooted and built up in faith, and abounding in all good works. We also at this time pray for our pastor-elect, Luke Bernthal. Please grant him a safe trip here, that we may welcome him in this coming week and install him as our pastor next Sunday. All these things we pray in the name of him who loved the church and gave himself for it, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. And we conclude today's service with hymn 649, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. welcome. I don't think we have any visitors today. Again, glad it's our last lay service for a good long while. After church, we have the annual reports meeting in the fellowship hall. We'll also be calling a teacher. Next Sunday, of course, installation service here, joint service with the East Bay to install Pastor Luke, who is doing his last service in Valentine this morning. I emailed him last night. He definitely asked for prayers from all of us for him to get through his service today back there, and also for a safe trip out here. And I believe there is some, I'm not sure if this pantry party is happening today after the meeting, or if we're just bringing things over, if we have them to help stock his pantry. I'm not sure about the details of that.
How are we doing that?
Partridge in a pantry? Okay.
Should we just bring stuff during the week, or should people bring it today?
Well, I have mine today, but I don't know what else there is.
All the cupboards in the kitchen are done. And the refrigerator needs to get wiped up still. But other than that, it's empty and ready for people to put stuff.
Ready to fill up.
Is the door unlocked so we can
take
stuff over?
Somebody will be
there most afternoon. Yeah. We'll probably most of the afternoon. There's some cleaning that needs to get done.
And the cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the plan is, weather permitting, he'll be arriving sometime late Tuesday is the plan. And so Wednesday, if that timetable sticks, will be the move-in day, and so we'll need obviously people to help with that.
What about food for the luncheon?
Food for the luncheon next Sunday.
Is there any?
That's my wife's job.
Ah.
Leslie's organizing something. I don't know if there's a sign up. She'll send an email this week. Michael and Leslie are making the chicken enchiladas.
Like that even more.
Yeah, right.
And then we'll be asked to bring side dishes and drinks.
Okay.
So I'll remind her of that today.
And note here, there's a TLC 2017 Women's Retreat in April. Registration is open on a particular website. Kirsten has printed up a folder, a flyer about it. And I don't know if you have any special inside knowledge about anything. Just, okay.
No, they just
posted. Okay. So it has been posted. So any other announcements? Yes, sir.
Board of Education to gather briefly prior to our meeting.
Okay. And I probably saw Ida.
Yes. Would you please remember to pray for Don? He's very weak. Thank you.
Kirsten.
I just wanted to say thank you for the Christmas gift from the congregation and any individual gifts and the support just from the last 6 months. So I wish you that.
Well deserved. Anyone else? All right, well, have a blessed week.